Welcome to the 86th episode of Frank Reactions, the podcast where we help you profit from the digital era through better customer experiences, online and off. My name is Temma Frank. Today, I bring you the first part of a two-part episode featuring Dave Mowat, who is the president and CEO of ATB Financial. ATB Financial was created during the Great Depression by the government of Alberta because the eastern-based banks were reluctant to lend money to Alberta farmers and homeowners and homesteaders, and it was causing a real crisis. And the government hoped that by setting up their own treasury branches in small communities in Alberta, they would be able to help bring the economy back into balance. The bank has gone through all kinds of ups and downs in the years since then. It is still owned by the government of Alberta, but is a crown corporation so that it has separate governance. I've split the episode into two parts because it was kind of a long chat with Dave, and I've come to the conclusion that most of my podcast listeners are not keen on podcasts that go on for more than half an hour. So I'm trying to keep the duration down a little bit. I may also experiment with doing much shorter ones, doing the sort of 3 to 5 minute thing that lots of people are doing now. Would love your feedback on that, whether you think that's a good idea or not. On the one hand, people do have short attention spans, and it's a way to get a little bit of info out in a short period of time. On the other hand, what I like about the longer format is that I do get a chance to really probe people and ask more in-depth questions. So in today's part of the episode, we talk about how ATB is trying to change its image and its story to provide better customer service and to give employees a little more scope so they can be less rule-bound and offer more personal flexibility for their customers. Dave and I actually recorded this interview in the spring, but I held off releasing it until now because his organization, ATB Financial, has actually sponsored two talks that I will be giving this week. One in Edmonton on Tuesday, September 27th from 11:30 till about 1, and another one in Calgary, same time period, on Thursday, the 29th. It's an event of the Marketing Research and Intelligence Association, and I will be talking about how marketing researchers, and this would apply equally really to all kinds of other people in organizations, can try to, I guess, win friends and influence people internally to try and help the organization move forward on customer experience. And of course, to try to help the organization understand the value of doing deep customer research. So if you're interested in attending either of those talks, go right now and register. Go to mria-arim.ca and search for the chapter Alberta and events. Unfortunately, the way their system works, you do have to create an account at the MRIA portal, but it's free to create an account. And if you come to those talks, if you register, you will get a free copy of the new book, People Shock, The Path to Profits When Customers Rule, courtesy of ATB. So I hope I'll be able to see you at one of those events. Another event I will also be doing in Edmonton on October 5th, which is Customer Experience Day internationally. That event will be more generally on the theme of customer experience in the digital era, and it will be taking place on October 5th from 5 to 7:30, and it's being put on by a new group called Alberta Venture Factory. So go to venturefactory.ca and look under programs, events, and you will find information to register for that one. Hopefully I can see you at one or another of these events. And I'm also very open to coming to speak in other cities and countries. Just found out that I'll be giving a talk actually in South Africa in the spring, which is going to be kind of cool. All right, on with the show, we shall go.
I'm Dave Mowat, and I'm overhead here at ATB Financial.
Yes.
The president and CEO. So I've been at ATB for just about 9 years now. I was born and raised in Alberta. Ended up working and going to school and working in BC for a long time, and came back about 9 years ago for the opportunity at ATB, and I've loved every second of it. It's been great.
So you came into an organization that had long been a government unit, basically, and was trying to become much more commercial, sort of competitive and more like an independent financial institution, right?
Right. Yeah, and I always feel like it's the people of Alberta that own ATB as opposed to the government, because we have an independent board of directors. You know, the rules specifically preclude politicians from influencing ATB. So in a way, it's there's no other AAA rated bank in Canada, and so kind of if you get past the fact that the one share of ATB is held by the government and just kind of believe that all Albertans own ATB, it's a very unique model. It's a very unique opportunity. Because I think banks do a tremendous job in Canada. Credit unions do a great job in Canada. And, I think there's a opportunity with ATB to kind of overlay those two models and really try and run a great organization, one that, is a great place to work, that provides great service to our customers, but also makes a good return. And so it's a canvas, it's one of the richest provinces in the country. Whole thing operates in one time zone.
That makes it easier,
run businesses in three or four time zones, I guess, across Canada. And so it's just a great opportunity, I think, to really try and push the limits. So we've developed a story at ATB. We've kind of thrown out our mission statement, vision statement, and things like that. And
In what way? What do you mean, thrown out your mission statement?
Well, I think a lot of... I think it's just an evolution. I think we all got to mission and vision statements and purpose and values and stuff like that. And honestly, I think if you took them off all the websites of every bank in Canada and took the colors off them, I don't think you could tell any of them apart.
So, right.
And I think some of them became so wordsmith, they were kind of like a glorified bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm. Except too long to fit on a bumper.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you need a great big car.
Yeah, exactly.
A Hummer.
Yeah.
So what the... what the story allowed us to do is 94 words long, and what it allows you to do is kind of speak to, why you do things, how you do things, and what you really want to stand for as an organization. And I think I think these things are all the most confusing or the most challenging to the very people who, all the team members who work for us. So. If you're going to work here, if it's going to be your career, I think I can afford to give you 94 words as to what I expect of you, what our organization expects of you, and what your teammates expect of you, because it's not optional. It's, we have something we're trying to do for our customers. We have other team members we need to support. So, I think some people think, culture and some of the aspirations are kind of wishy-washy or artsy-fartsy or something like that. To us, our brand is to try and do things other banks wouldn't do, to be more than a bank, to be steadfastly loyal to our customers. And so it's all part of our story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you work here and you're not doing that, you're wrecking our brand. So
right.
You don't have any right to work here. So so we don't want the Moonies. We don't want people... talking from cue cards. Matter of fact, we can talk more about how we help people figure their way through all the rules and things. But
okay.
The biggest thing is, this idea of serving the customer isn't something you do when you're feeling good. It isn't something you do on one of your good days. It's something, you need to do every single day that we work here. So that story, really helps people find themselves, make sure that, it's just not those 94 words, but it really is a very clear signal to people.
So what are the 94 words? That's the obvious question at this point. Do you have them memorized?
Yeah, that's right. I could probably work our way through it. But I think it talks about focusing on happiness, which isn't something you'd usually hear from a bank. But, even our corporate transactions, one of the great big things out in the venture capital and the big deal-making worlds is closing dinners and things like that. Like, you're aiming a whole transaction at creating what the customer wants. And that ultimately, so when you start from happiness, that's a good place to, because we don't always think of that as a bank, but, you know, all the advertising you see for retirement plans and things like that, it's all, you know, I think at the root, whether you want to buy a car this afternoon to go to your first job, or whether you want to start a investments for your retirement, or whether you simply want to buy a house, at the root of all of those things is what you're trying to do is find out a person's motivations, and a person's motivations inevitably is rooted in what makes them happy. And, you know, when you delve all into that, if I know what makes you happy creates happiness for you, I'm in a way better position to serve you, to give you things you want, don't sell you things you don't need or things you hate.
Right.
So we kind of start there, and then we talk about having the courage to do things that other banks wouldn't do.
Like what?
If you're an independent business and you borrow money for us anywhere in Canada, you sign a guarantee. We're giving those guarantees back. You know, whether it's 2 or 3 or 4 years in, we don't have a firm rule for it, but we review the files. You don't have to come and ask for it. So every week I sign letters saying, you know, Tema, thanks very much for your business. We appreciate the success you've created, and here's your guarantee back.
Wow.
And all that's, you know, when you really work into that, when we analyze our, when any bank, but take us, analyzes their book, if you've been a customer for 3 or 4 years and you've paid your payments on time, the circumstances we ever lose money are nil.
Pretty low,
And when we do lose money, something tragic happened, and the guarantee is worth nothing anyway.
You know what it makes me think of? I remember actually my first boss at when I was working at the bank said to me, we were in marketing, and he said, no matter how stringent your rules, 2% will find a way around them, so design for the other 98%.
Exactly right.
And, yeah.
And so we don't, so people come into a bank, they open an account, and they walk away, and what's embedded in their account is there's probably a $1,000 POS limit, there's probably a $500 release limit, what you get from an ATM if you make a deposit. And then there's a daily transaction limit. And most people have no idea. So if you come in and open an account, we'll ask you, what would you like your POS limit to be? And you get a blank look from people.
Right.
But the first, so that's the first thing to happen is we explain to you what that is. And you say, well, I'll say $1,000 kind of thing. And, and then you say, what would you like your release limit to be? And you get another blank look.
Right.
And what a release limit is if you deposit a check, you know, maybe there's a hold on it or whatever. The release limit is no matter what, we'll give you that amount back. And so you really you want to try and find, you know, the deposit. You know, if you usually deposit a $3,000 paycheck or something, you probably want about a $3,000 release limit. Because there's protection for you in there and stuff.
Sure.
Anyway, when you walk away, two things happen. One, it felt like you just designed your own account.
Right,
But thirdly, is the day you're standing in Costco and you have $4,000, you know you need to get your daily limit increased.
Right.
Instead of not understanding it. So it's just trying to do things a little bit differently. So what we've done in Canada as financial institutions, you know, used to hear a lot of talk that women couldn't get financing. Used to hear.
I remember those days. Yeah, you needed your husband to sign.
That's right. And you heard that businesses couldn't get financing and stuff like that. You don't hear much of that anymore. They've kind of figured it out. But what we've done, what we have done is figured that out. And in doing so, we've optimized it from our perspective. So banks in Canada are very efficient. We do a good job. We're amongst the best in the world. But it's optimized for our perspective. And so what we think there's a huge opportunity to walk around to the other side of the desk and start to optimize it from the customer's perspective in a way that doesn't change the risk. So by me asking you, like we put a $1,500 release limit on every single account that opens, that's just easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
But if I talk to you and ask you and you want 2,000, another person wants 1,000, it hasn't changed our risk profile whatsoever.
Right.
But we're just doing things so it works really well for you.
So let's talk about how you identified what those things were that were important to change. Because you, I mean, this bank did start off as being very traditional and very rules bound,
right?
So it's undergone a really radical transformation. So how did that happen?
You know, I think the first thing that unlocked it, this has been a great 9 or 10 years to hire people in Alberta. It's, you know, a lot of the banks have been centralizing some of their functions to Toronto and Vancouver. Like, you know, HSBC is running everything out of Vancouver and other banks out of Toronto. So, and plus there's another scenario is in banking, people tend to get moved around. So we get people that either grew up here and get a job at one of the banks here, or they get transferred to Alberta. They fall in love with Alberta. They don't want to leave. So we've been really diligently collecting those people because you can't just willy-nilly decide you're going to change a bunch of things in a bank. Like we have $43 billion we manage every single day, and if you don't have rules, you're not going to be running a very successful
right.
bank.
Yeah.
So the first part is to get really capable people who can ask the right questions and who know how the bank operates and how banks make money and so on and so forth. And it's not as, like, we only have 5,300 people. You know, Dave McKay has more than 100,000 people at the Royal Bank. And he doesn't like it when I say it, but, you know, he puts his foot on the gas and he kind of has to wait a month to see what happens. And so sometimes we think we got a lot of people at 5,300, but you look at it the other way, we only have 5,300.
Right.
And, you know, if you brought 500 new leaders into the organization over a period of time, those 500 people, you know, you see it all the time, they tend to recreate themselves. They hire people, you know, with similar attributes in them. So we have some people who have worked here. I was out with a guy this morning that was 35 years with us, and he's terrific. He's exactly what we would have wanted from day one.
Right.
And there's other people that we hired 2 or 3 years ago that are terrific and are exactly what we want. And, you know, I think we've successfully done is really got the leaders that are really well suited to run an organization that wants to optimize itself from the customer's perspective. And that was critical to do to start with, because I think you'd blow your brains out doing it any other way. Because the next step is quite crucial, is banks have thousands of rules. And you kind of have to, because we have all kinds of things. You've worked in a bank, you understand that. So, but if you listen to Dave Mowat talking around town about what ATB wants to do, and if you read our operating guide, they're not very similar. Like,
right.
you know, I'm talking about, you know, people optimizing it from customers' perspective, and this one sure sounds like get the death certificate, and if you don't have the death certificate, don't do anything.
Tell me about it. I've just been going through that. My father died last month. So.
Yeah. So you know that. And so, and what that is, in a way, you know, is kind of chicken shit management, because what that is the boss is saying what we want it to be like, and then we write rules that if you interpret them literally, you know, are kind of terrible from a customer's perspective. And so what that does is it puts all your team members, all the people in the middle, as meat in the sandwich. You're kind of throwing their body in front of somebody else's train every day, because they're having to interpret those. So with that story I talked about, what we have is the 10 ATBs, which take off on the ABCs, but what the 10 ATBs are essentially is a guide on how to break the rules of the organization. You know, like one of them is do the right thing. And, you know, it speaks to, you know, if it doesn't seem like the right thing, if you don't think it's the right thing, then don't do it. You know, talk to somebody about it, get some advice and stuff, and, you know, just don't run off all on your own, but don't do it, because chances are it's not right. Because what we do is we write rules, like your old boss said, they're kind of written for the person who's going to try and break the rules.
Yeah.
And And in banking, we have an extremely low margin business, but 98.5% of our customers never ever pose any problem to us, and
right.
less than 0.5% of our customers ever pose any loss to us. So what we encourage our people to do is really understand the intent. And that's, I kind of belabored the first point, is you got to get the right people in the organization.
Right.
And once you got the right people, then you can talk to them about, you know, all the regulations you've run up against if you're working on an estate or something. There's a million rules, what pays, you know. And, but they all have intent. You know, like one thing is you have to show proof that burial expenses and any crematorium fees and stuff have been paid. And the only reason that's written down is because all of those expenses rank in ahead of anybody, you know, just to ensure everybody gets buried. Yeah. So there's this old archaic law.
Right.
It's kind of like wage claims in a company bankruptcy. So somebody wrote it down that says, you know, we want to make sure those are paid before we give you the $382 that's in the account.
Right.
We want to make sure the $250 is paid to the the funeral parlor. But if it's your neighbor and you know they died, you know, you don't have to. And if you if you know the family is of means and blah, blah, blah. So
you'd give your staff some flexibility.
All kinds of flexibility. So what we want them to do is produce the intended result of the rule. We don't need them to go through every single step, literally. And so that feels way different.
Yes.
And we don't give anything away. We're not cutting corners.
Mm-hmm.
We're simply, if you and I sat down to decide what the rules would be in this very particular situation, chances are we'd come up with what our person did, and it's not what's in the book that's written for every single customer.
So then what happens if somebody's made a decision that seemed logical, like they knew the neighbor had died, but it turned out that they hadn't paid the cremation expenses? Like, what happens when they've made the wrong judgment call? Then what do you do?
You know, for all the times that that happens, you know, we can celebrate that and, you know, have a little tear because we lost $250.
Yeah.
But it just simply doesn't happen that often.
Right.
And it's almost counterintuitive. It's the more, you know, if you kind of celebrate that happening, it almost, it makes people think twice about that they can do that.
Yeah.
Because it's there's a type of person out there, and they're not a bad person. They're they hide behind rules.
Yes.
And there's almost a little bit of power in that, too. And it's a weird kind of thing that, you know, I don't really have anything against you, but I can tell you what the rule is. I know I'm 100% right.
Safe.
And you are 100% wrong, kind of thing. And somehow I inflict that upon you. And so we're just looking to say goodbye to those people and find the people that, you know, are kind of motivated by trying to figure out a solution. And I'm overblowing it a little bit because cashing a check or opening a safety deposit box isn't always, you know, a huge decision and things like that. But you know, it's the little things that really bug people in banking. Like, we could have a customer who's got, you know, we might do tens of thousands of transactions for them every month. But, you know, if we turn down, you know, their daughter who's going to university for a $500 credit card or something, we might lose an account. Like, it's just a frustration.
Yeah.
Because banks, nobody believes we can't do it. They see that we won't do it.
Right.
You know, and so there's... So we just, you know, your original question is, how did we look for? We've just kind of looked for all of those little pain points. Like, you know, so go back to Costco. You're in Costco. You don't have a clue what a release limit is or, I mean, a daily POS limit is.
Right.
You've got $15,000 sitting in your checking account. It's been there forever. It's always there. It's never there. It never goes anywhere. That's what you keep in your checking account. And you put $4,000 through and we won't pay it.
Yeah. That's really irritating.
So that's your money. Like,
right, exactly.
And you're thinking, like, what risk are they taking? It's a chip, it's a PIN, it's a debit card. Like, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
And so that feels incredibly arbitrary. And we have a lot of rules. How come you can't? Well, they didn't approve it. Well, why didn't they approve it? Well, you know, just when you put everything together, they didn't approve it. So as many times as we can find those kind of arbitrary situations that don't really fit the circumstance, with no risk to the bank. You know, just I mentioned how we analyzed our personal guarantees on business, and you know, at some point with a certain level of criteria, we never, ever, ever, ever get any return from them, and we never need them. So giving them back is a show of trust, but it hasn't changed the risk profile for the bank. And there's lots of those. I can go through hundreds.
There's part one of my interview with Dave Mowat, the CEO and president of ATB Financial. Part two will be coming at you next week. My thoughts on the first part of the interview are, you know, he talked about the story that they've developed. I think, frankly, it's kind of long. I think it's really, really important that you have something that's short enough that everybody from the CEO on downward can remember it and quote it very quickly and easily. So personally, I would urge them to try and tighten that up a little bit. But they're certainly on the right track of providing greater flexibility. That said, they've still got a lot of progress to make, but it's nice to see them moving in the right direction. So if you stay tuned next week, you'll find out a little bit more about how they can try to convince the public that they really are different, and how do you approach that when you have an organization that has a reputation for being very rigid and rule-bound. And how do you get staff to the point where they feel that they can really trust themselves and the system not to punish them if they do try and exercise discretion? So I think you'll find that interesting. So do come back next week for that. If you haven't already subscribed to the Frank Reactions podcast, I would recommend that you do that. You can also sign up for the Frank Ideas newsletter, which will make sure you get notified every time a new episode comes out. So to do that, just go to frankreactions.com and you'll see all kinds of sign-up opportunities. Just a quick reminder, if you missed last week's episode, you might want to go back and check that one out. It was my recap of highlights from the Digital Customer Experience Strategy Summit in Chicago, and there's really a lot of good information in there. So if you want to listen to that one, just go to frankreactions.com/85. Have a wonderful week, and I will chat with you again next week. Bye.